Hello?
Yeah, what's good? Can you hear me?
Yeah, it should be good now. I downloaded the app. Yo, the name is
Bet.
hard. He's on
I
time guard. Your hoop
appreciate
skills
that, man.
like that.
I appreciate
Your
that.
hoop skills like that.
Dog, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, they not bad, bro. Like, you know what I mean?
Gonna call Greg. Niggas gonna have to play. Niggas gonna have to play three dribble maximum, first to seven, and see what's up.
Hey, I'm with that. Like, I'm really with that. Like, and I have nothing now but a mean jumper. That's it. You
Mean
know what I'm
jumper,
saying?
no post
Yeah.
skills.
Oh no, I got post skills. Yeah. Like, I'm definitely like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was the height that I am damn near all my life. So I had to
Right.
play center early, and then it was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, cuz you're not growing no more. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, you gotta do something. So I had to figure it out. Yeah, you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm with that, dog. Next time you up here, like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, we got plenty of courts in this month. Like,
For sure.
ain't no excuse for that. But man, let me tell the people who we talking to today. I know they don't even, you know what I'm saying? Like, some folks don't even know. I got the hemp guru in the building, dog. Like,
Stop.
no, I'm dead serious. I met this man. We just figured out that we met a year ago, but it feels like I've known this man forever
Forever.
almost.
Right.
Like we rap. We was on the Uplift Symposium,
Last
and you know
year.
what I'm yeah, last year, and we you know what I'm saying. We linked on that, and it's been love ever since. I am proud of this man, yo. Like, he it, within a year he has motivated me to, you know what I'm saying, really go all in on things. And he is doing his family extremely proud. Like, I think that's one of the biggest things that when we first Link, we just was talking about, you know, the importance of our family legacies and where we come from and everything of that nature. And it was just, you know, the conversation, it felt like I was talking to an old friend that just like, damn, I ain't hollered at bro in a minute. Like, you know what I'm saying? Let's just reconnect. But I am talking about nobody else, y'all, except Jarrell Howard from Gold Standard Farms. You know what I'm saying? We welcome you to the show, brother. Like, thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You know, this means a lot to me because, you know, I like staying behind the scenes, ball.
I'm here. I'm here. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? I know you the man. You the man behind the curtain. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I appreciate you popping out real quick. Just, you know what I'm saying, just gracing me, you know what I mean, with this opportunity. I do appreciate it though.
Lot of feeling is mutual, bro. I appreciate everything that you've done. Like I said, when we met at the Uplift, I think y'all had your own room. I
yeah
was in the
yeah
bouquet
yeah
room.
yeah we
You know what I
did.
mean? So it was very motivational for me, just really like getting out there. And then we'll get into the story of you know, kind of, you know, what kind of got us out there, but it was just motivational to me. You know what I mean? I had met
For
Lex
sure.
through they was doing one of the speed rooms or whatever, and we were just talking about black brands, and then I think everything like grew from there. And then you know, we'll get into what we do, you know, when we do our pop-ups around
Yeah,
DC.
for
We bless
sure.
DC twice with it, so
So yeah, I just it was one of those things. Like I said, you know, like I'm a very I try to be as personal as I want, and it was just like, damn, dog. I was like, man, this man is really doing a lot of stuff. For people who for the folks that don't know what you do, you know what I'm saying, or who you are, can you give them a just a brief introduction of you know what I'm saying, of yourself and what you do?
I'm Jarrell Howard. I am CEO and co-founder of Gold Standard Farms, which is a African American owned hemp and CBD cultivation farm farms. Well, we have three farms now that specializes in maximizing the full potential of the hemp plant in its entirety, whether that be for consumption, whether that be for clothing and cloth fabrics, or ultimately, you know, what we're working in building sustainable homes with hempcrete for our people, by our people, at a reasonable price.
This man said hempcrete. Y'all not hearing what's going on, yo. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody be wanting to be a part of stuff and be forward thinking. My man said hempcrete. Y'all ain't even heard that yet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all heard that today. Like, this is new shit. Cause I'm gonna be honest, I haven't even heard of hempcrete, but I'm willing to say that it might be probably a little bit better than concrete at this point. And it's more sustainable. So I think that's a good look, dog. Like, this man, y'all, I'm trying to tell you, this man is in 2075 right now, dog. Like, he got the Elon Musk time machine. I know you do, dog. I just need one ride, bro. I just need a
we good. One, we on it.
One ride real quick just to figure this drink out, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but nah, like, that's This man is doing something real big, and he's making sure that people of color, black folks, we have, you know what I'm saying, we are getting our fair share of equity in the space. That is, you know, that alone is, you know, a big thing. But You mind getting into the story? Like, let's, you know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of know, you know, I know the story and everything, but right. I want to make sure that the people kind of fully can, you know, understand where this came from. Because, like, you, like I said, this wasn't like a, like, he ain't wake up one day and just said, man, let me start this farming groove. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, you was birthed into this, you know what I'm saying? Right. So, yeah, man, feel free to share that part.
Yeah, so, you know, like so many of us, you know, I'm from the South. You know, my family heritage is South. I was born in Detroit, Michigan. I lived there the first 6 years of my life, and then we moved back down South. And I was raised by my grandparents. And, you know, that's a blessing to me, because I was able to connect with their generation and get a firsthand encounter of what it was growing up in the South in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. You get what I'm saying?
For sure.
So my great-grandparents founded our farm in 1931, to be exact. So there's a lot going on, right? You've got a couple, you know what I mean, with close to probably 6 to 7 kids at that time. They ultimately had 12. You've got, you know, my great grandfather, who's a blacksmith by trade, farmer, sharecropper, my great grandmother, who's raising children in farming, and they're living on William Avery McCain's plantation. And for those who's not necessarily familiar with William Avery McCain, he was Senator John McCain's, I believe it was great, great grandfather, And they're in Greenwood, Mississippi. You know, okay, so they're sharecroppers there. And in 1931, my great grandfather went into the market or town or whatever the place was, and he had bought some fish, some meat. And while unwrapping the meat, he saw that there was a 50-acre estate or farm for sale in Northwest Tennessee. You know, he did not own his own vehicle at the time, so the story goes he borrowed an old Ford Model T. 1931, so this is the heart of segregation, yeah, oppression, Jim Crow, and on top of that, you got the Great Depression. You get what right. I'm saying? So for a black man, you're really seeing next to nothing at this point. He made a handshake agreement on, you know, what would be our family farm. It took my great-grandfather 10 years to save up and pay for this farm to be debt-free. And then ultimately in 1941, he moved his family from Greenwood, Mississippi to Martin, Tennessee, where we're currently located. We've been located for 81 years now. So, you know, for me, growing up, understanding the value of ownership was probably the second thing that we learned outside of the Bible. You know? Like, you think about it, I'm in the Bible Belt.
You right,
Southern Baptist.
Definitely are.
Yeah, you get what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So you know you learn God, family, and handle your business.
You got a mean auntie that probably play the tambourine right now, dog. Like she probably break it. I know you do. Like I know somebody right now. Sundays they play the virtual tambourine because ain't no church right now, but they play that tambourine, dog.
All day, you know what I mean? Mother's Day just passed, so you already know how they turn.
I'm hip. I already know they showed up.
But you know, so at this time, you know, Fred Pope, you know, my great grandfather never had a job. Always was an independent man, worked for himself. And once he got here, he set up shop, set up a general store. You know, we grew ample amount of products, whether that was you know, strawberries, turnip greens, cotton, corn, soybeans. We had livestock, hogs, pigs. You name it, our family was in the game. And it was all about sustainability. It was all about being efficient. You know what I mean? Right. Building up an economic ecosystem. We never took out a USDA loan. And we'll get into, you know, kind of what's been going on with that. But, you know, with us, you know, we were just like, if we didn't have the money, we didn't do it. You know what I mean? Right. So being blessed enough to be into this family, it put me in a position growing up on the farm to understand the value of ownership and the value of generational passing something down other than debt. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and that was the thing. You know, my family just wanted to be a staple in our community from the agricultural side, take care of our community, be self-reliable, self-sufficient, and it just trickled down four generations later to me.
Yeah, that's dope. Like, that's that.
I sometimes try to tell people, like,
you know, you gotta you kind of gotta either come from this spirit of you know, entrepreneurship. Like I definitely had a, you know, just an upbringing of entrepreneurship, but I also realized, like, you know, you can put yourself in that position as well. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
But it's a lot of folks that, like, you know, I think that that was one of the things that we kind of bonded on with that was just that I, you know, from the hardworking examples that we've got from our family, that's what kind of led us down the paths, you know what I'm saying, that we're going down. And I think that's just a big thing, man, for you to still be having, you know, doing this stuff on your family's land now, but you are putting yourself in a situation for the next wave, you know what I mean, like the next cycle. So that's just, you know, that's a big, that's a big thing. One of the things that you were talking about, you know, you said you didn't, your family never got a loan. You know, being a black farmer, like what numbers do black farmers even represent in the United States? Like, you got that? You know that?
Yeah. So currently, we represent 1.3% of all farmers. Around 45,000 black farmers. There's a gentleman, OG, by the name of John Boyd, out of Virginia. And he's done a lot for African-American farmers over the last, really, you know, 35 years. And, you know, as I started to do my research, as I started to get older and dive into the family portfolio and see what was going on, you know, African-American farmers are on the board of extinction, bro.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Because if you look at a century ago, and I think the year 2021 is perfect because we're right at 100 years. A century ago, we made up 15% of all farmers in America. We had around a million or so farmers and accumulated close to 16 to 20 million acres. Well, you look at a century now, we're at 1.3%. So 98% of all farmland owned in America is owned by a Caucasian farmer. We make up roughly 45,000 farmers, and we've lost close to 12 million acres. And it's been a variety of reasons, right? You have Jim Crow oppression. You have families that took flight to the Midwest and to the North and kind of lost touch on what was going on in the South and you know, end up losing land. And most importantly, you have this bad business tactics, you know, where a white farmer takes close to 30 days to get their loan process, and for a black farmer, it can take up to a year to get your loan process.
Wow.
And we have specific times as farmers that we need to, you know, plant our seed and to receive a good harvest, you know.
Right.
You know, when you look at those things and ways that racism has played a major effect, even in just trying to get, you know, financing for your harvest, it puts us in a place to where we become stagnant and stuck on a treadmill. You know what I mean? And one of the things that I've never wanted to be was on a treadmill, to feel as if I felt that I was making progress, but ultimately I was stuck in the same place. You know what I'm saying?
I think that might be the one of the biggest kind of, that there was a lot of reasons why, you know what I'm saying, that why we had this huge decline. Like, I didn't know the numbers was that substantial. Like, that's kind of, you know what I'm saying, like, jaw-dropping.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about ultimately, you know, they brought us over here in 1619 to do what? You know what I mean?
Right.
The South economic incline was due to what? African Americans working from sun up to sundown, free labor, and producing quality for their owners as slaves to become wealthy. You feel me? So when you sit here, and even if you look at the time period outside of or during Reconstruction, you know, they hit us with black code, bro.
We
can do is farm. So of course, you know, it's alarming when you sit here and you say, okay, this is what we were brought here for, this is how we built America. Even after slavery, you could find us in this box of being able to be sharecroppers, etc. And now we are less than, I mean, we don't own anything in this space. You get what I'm saying? And it's the same thing as cannabis. And I think that's where the story correlated. You get what I'm saying? Of being able to look outside and say, well, damn, we're still part of the 1.3%, 81 years in the business.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, it was a sense of purpose of saying, well, how can I help increase numbers, and how can I help educate our people on how to make a shift into something that's going to allow them to accumulate generational wealth, and most importantly, economic sustainability within their ecosystem. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. What are some of the things, I think, that you find, I guess, maybe the difficulties in being a black farmer, I think we might not even jumping ahead of ourselves, but I think that's just important, just to kind of shed some light, because I'm gonna be honest, like, a lot of people don't know black farmers, like, and I want to say black farm. When I say a black farmer, I'm not saying, like, you know, y'all, this man be wearing Yeezys, y'all. So, like, don't think that he just, you know what I'm saying, got on some slickers or some stuff like that. Like, he real making farming real cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is something, like, you know, people don't know no black farmers, first of all.
Right.
So, like, you know, for them to even know, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody, everybody, like you said, we all got some family that got some land down south, something that had some land down south, or something, you know, but we ain't never farmed that land. What are some of the things that you think that, you know, since we talked about black farmers, what are some of the things that might, you know, hold them up, or you know, what are some of the barriers, like, maybe that you might run into?
Before I get to the barriers, I do this, you know, with my team. When we discuss getting into the farm aspect, you know, I'm from a sports background, as you know,
sports management.
I use this, you know, when we're on the highway and it's just you driving, and let's say, you know, you're in a little bit of traffic, but you see that HOV lane moving. Mm-hmm. What's the one determining factor that prevents you from getting over there.
If you ain't got no folk in that car.
Exactly. You get what I'm saying? So you looking, you like, damn, I wish I had 2-3 people with me so I could be over there and get to where I want to go. I think that's the same thing with farming, right? You have to show people that it's appeasing. Right now, the knock on farming is the closest thing to slavery for a black person. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like I said, I was raised by generation 2 of 4. So my great grandmother, my grandmother was born in 1924. So my look on farming was survival. Shit, we don't farm, we don't eat,
we don't eat.
We don't survive. You get what
right,
I'm saying?
Right, right.
So, you know, the biggest thing that I wanted to do was show the youngsters that are living in the projects, and the projects is right across the street from our farm, that this shit can look fly. All right. The things that you might want to take a federal chance on, and I'm not knocking any way that people go out here and do what they do, but anything that could slow you down, put you in bondage, that looks appealing, you get what I'm saying? We're doing the same aspect and same shit, legal, cultivating, and healing, and housing, and helping. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So before you can get a person all the way in, you have to, you know, we live in a show me society. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So that's why it was super important with me looking and saying, okay, DC is rocking with us. We have to go here and touch the people here. We need to touch the people in Detroit. We need to touch the people in California, etc., and extend our knowledge as an olive branch to educate, to incubate. And then from there, ultimately, we accelerate them into the space. You know what I mean? What my grandparents learned was what they were taught. So if we aren't teaching the next generation, we can't expect them to want to fuck with it. You get what I'm saying?
No, sorry, that's real. No, please, Phil. My goodness. Yeah, we let it
but,
burn. So.
But we can't rock with it.
Yeah, for sure.
If I'm only showing Shorty how to hoop, or how to rap, or how
he
to do this.
Yeah, he
that,
ain't going
that's
no nothing.
That's what their focus going to be. Mm-hmm. But if they see, oh, man, I can get it literally out the mud. That's one of the things that we got in our facility, out the mud. Because you're literally, you putting something in
soil. Yeah, you putting it in the, right, in the soil, for real.
You know what I mean? It never could have reigned more supreme on that than it is in farming. And I think this is something that we need to adapt. We need to embrace all. Need to embrace ownership in the agriculture and cannabis cultivation as well.
For sure, like that is real. Like you you know, you've been doing something dope too. You've been doing the tour. You've been doing Black Hempster tour kind of groove. And this has been just an amazing time. Like you've been able to get a lot of people together. You know what I'm saying? Safely, I'll say that as well, like people, so y'all don't get too crazy on
right.
thinking that folks just out here just coronaring it up, nothing like that. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, really get people together and people and a lot of people that's in this space, that you know might not you know we probably might have bumped into each other at some point in time, but. Mm-hmm. Like really focusing on it and saying, hey, like, y'all, we need to know each other. We need to, you know what I'm saying, rock with each other. Like, this is how we make this happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, kind of what made you kind of, you know what I'm saying, think about, you know, doing this, like, this tour and everything?
In 2018, when the farm bill was passed, when the hemp farm bill was passed, I dove straight in. You know, I've been using cannabis since I was 13 years old.
Right.
All right. So I understood the value of it from a consumer standpoint, right? You know what I mean? If you talk to my accountant pre-gold standard, they would say his miscellaneous account is always his biggest expense. Miscellaneous, we was marking my weed. Shit, I gotta buy my shit every week. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So I understood the value of the dollar in that. What I didn't understand was the science behind CBD. And the health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So when I embarked on this journey, I was going to Portland, Oregon, you know, California, Colorado, Michigan, anywhere where cannabis was legal. And the problem was, Ma, nobody looked like me, bro. And I wasn't comfortable talking to anybody about what I was trying to do because it was just like, I'm from the culture. It's like, shit, you don't look like me.
Yeah, you
know what I mean? Understood. And I'm a loquacious person, fam. I can talk to anybody. So if I felt like that, I knew that it was probably going to be thousands of other people who didn't really speak and break bread in that sense that would have questions. So the Black Hempster Tour really just came out of COVID hit. Once we saw that it was going to be here, we figured out safe ways to get to places, quarantine, and then get with people that wanted to be in the industry, like-minded individuals, those that were in it, whether it was from cultivation, ancillary, delivery, you name it. And I wanted to break bread with them. I wanted to do what I saw my grandparents do. You know what I'm saying? You know, eat food, talk about ideas, smoke great bud, figure out ways that we can build a Black economic ecosystem that can support each other. I'm not in the ancillary space, but I'm always going to send people to Bouquet. You get what I'm saying? And vice versa with any questions with cultivation and growing, right? And that's really where it came out of. I was tired of being in the house. There was rules and regulations around the world. So it was like, shit, we're going to get private locations, make sure everybody tested, come through. Private chef, shout out to my guy in D.C., Chef John. You know what I'm saying? Fantastic food.
Fantastic.
My partner, Greg Harrison, you know what I'm saying, of the museum.
One time for the museum.
You feel me? Just, you know, really, really put it in perspective. And it's a bunch of young creatives that's come in and we wrecking shit in this industry. And we going to be making more noise, you know what I'm saying, over the next 24 months, 36 months as a collective. And that's really what the Black Hempster Movement is. It's just a collective of like-minded individuals in the spaces looking to advance and propel, you know, ultimately our dreams into reality.
For sure. I'm going to be very honest with you guys.
You came to both of them.
I have. Yeah. Like, this has honestly been one of, so it's kind of wild because, like, you meet people, you be like, damn, you be needing a spark sometimes, right? And, like, we had this drink, we talked, you was like, yo, I'm going to get to D.C. And, like, you know what I'm saying? I think the first time you came to D.C., that's when we wrapped in the museum. Like, we was in the museum.
Yeah.
For like an hour and some change, just rapping, like, you know what I mean? And it was just a continuation of a phone call that we had. The second time, you know what I'm saying? That's when you had we had a lot of dope ass people there that, like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to Hope. Hope came through, you know, G was there. I mean, like, we had a dope combination of folks, man, and it really started to, I think that kind of put people in gears, almost like, yo, we need, like, this is it, like, this is, you know, we ain't by ourselves, like, let's go, like, this is what we're gonna have, like, it's, we got a support move and blah blah blah. And you know what I'm saying, I really think that that kind of might have spearheaded a lot of the push
towards
things, like, you know what I'm saying. And then just like you said, just to get the get creatives together in a place when we had not been together, right? We had not been able to do anything. We had not been able to just break bread and share ideas. Being in that space, you know what I'm saying, like, it felt great. It felt real Harlem Renaissance, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you happened to, it was like, I felt that Langston Hughes just happened to be in the same dining room as Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald sitting in the corner.
It's like you're cooking up gumbo, bro.
Yeah, dog. Like, it was amazing.
I mean, the shrimp is great by itself in the crab. And you know what I mean? The sausage is great. You know what I mean? Pause. But the thing is, the thing is, once you mix all of those ingredients together,
it's amazing,
you have a
bro.
dish that's amazing. You feel me?
Yeah.
And that's really what you saw in the period of 1865 up until, shoot, really 1921. You just think about the massacre that happened in Greenwood, you know, with yeah. Black Wall Street. You started to see African-Americans take community and build an economic ecosystem. You don't hear me say that a lot. You know what I mean? Shout out to Dr. Claude Anderson.
For sure. That's, you know what I mean? Hey, listen.
but that's really the vibe that I want to bring back, man. I'm 31 years old, and I think that the biggest thing that I'm looking for in life is to leave an impact. If you do something well, you're going to get the money.
Right? For sure.
You know what I mean? Sure. But it's all about the impact. I tell people all the time, Steve Jobs had more money than he had time on this earth, but he still has an impact. You don't believe it? Turn your phone turn your ringer on your iPhone and go into a place where everybody's got iPhones and let the phone call. And everybody go check their phone. Because you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, shit, is that my phone? Oh, no, that's your phone. That's impact. You know what I mean? Beyond the grave. And I think that we have to be able to embrace that in our community and say, I want to leave an impact. I want to be the George Washington Carver of hemp. You get what I'm saying? But the difference is, you know what I mean? Respectfully, I say this, you know, they're going to pay me beyond the years that I'm on this earth. You get what I'm saying? Because when you think about what he was able to do with the peanut, we should be talking about his family every year in Forbes, just as we talk about the Bloombergs or the Waltons or anyone else. You get what I'm saying?
Right. That's real. So listen, you are an entrepreneur. I got 12 quick questions. I know when you say 12 questions, you're like, God, that fuck is 12 quick. Like, that's crazy. But I got 12 quick questions. I want you to just, you know what I'm saying, fire off whatever comes to mind. And it's just it's just an honest, unabridged thing. So feel free, you know what I'm saying, to you know what I mean? Answer as you will, if that.
I got you.
Being, you know, like I said, you're an entrepreneur, a farmer, like how many hours do you normally work on a day?
Probably about 16, yeah, accounted for.
Okay. Hours. Okay.
You know, the biggest thing is, you know, for me, I'm not just a farmer, I'm CEO, right?
Right.
So coming from a sports background, I understand the value of teamwork and putting people in position to succeed. Mm-hmm. Everybody's strength isn't going to be, you know what I mean, the same thing. So you have to be able to balance out the weakness and the strength. So a lot of my time, I spend it, you know, just making sure that those around me are in position to succeed, man. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I understand what I'm going to do. You get what I'm saying? Because I get my strong suits. But, you know, when you're setting up a business and you put yourself in a position of being, quote unquote, the boss, you know, I don't really like saying that. I'm a very humble individual. But
teammate, captain,
exactly.
That's yeah, you know what I'm saying, a captain.
You know, it's you know, you spend more time in the lab when you're a captain of the team. You spend more time in the film room. You spend more time putting up shots. So that's all time that you got to account for. You know what I mean?
For sure. Can you describe your typical day?
4 a.m. I'm up praying, smoking, drinking coffee, writing down goals. So I set my goals for the day to coincide with my goals for the week and for the month. You know, by 7:30, I'm usually out the door and on the way to the facility. You know, and then I'm locking in, figuring out what we want to do for the day, and you know, going over what's on the board. We might be dealing with watering plants. We might be doing some trimming. We might be doing extraction. I might be on the phone, as you already know. On the phone, you know, probably if I said 16 hours, I'm probably working in the lines about 10. straight up. You know what I mean? So my day starts at 4 and usually ends around 11:30 Central Time, PM. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. How does you know entrepreneurship affect your family life? Like have you noticed? I mean, you know, being a it's a family operation. Like you know what I mean? So it's like do you find yourself? Yeah. Like what do you think?
It's a phase. I think that my family looks at it as it's my time. So they understand the amount of hours they go into it. My great-grandfather was 53 years old when he bought this property. His wife was 41. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Most people retiring at 62. That's the hope. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? So long hours is just something that, you know, what is it? Heavy is the head that wears the crown. You know what I mean? True. So I understood going into wanting to pivot a family farm into an industry that my family wasn't versed in. It was going to be, you know, they were going to support. So extremely supportive. I think the biggest thing is when you add a relationship to it, whereas my family understands it, it takes time to educate your significant other on why I do the hours that I'm doing or why I have to get on the plane and do this and do that, because it might not be the norm. You know what I mean? The blessing I tell people all the time was the first millionaire in my family wasn't me. You know what I mean? Yeah. What I'm doing is pivoting a family business into something that's going to last another 80 years. But, you know, I had great uncles that amassed, you know, a million, you know, half a million in business. So the work ethic has always been there, and my family's always understood that, you know, as much as we love on people and want to hug you, that doesn't pay the bills, and that ultimately doesn't help us take our people to the next level. So you got to put your 10,000 hours in, bro. Anyway,
ain't no way around that, man.
It's cat.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Ain't no way around that. We talk about this all the time. I know between me and you, we have this conversation. Listen. That's one of the reasons why we got off Clubhouse, y'all, because the cap that people were saying that this shit was happening in a blink of an eye overnight, and we just couldn't probably take this.
I'm going to say this. Gold standard can be valued at an overnight sensation, but I was well past 10,000 hours before we even developed a market plan, like going to market. I really put in 2.5 years of just strictly learning the plant and the business.
Yeah. I don't think people realize how much stuff, you know what I'm saying, it really goes in to having these businesses. Like people see things overnight, like it, you know, maybe because of social media, maybe because of how fast we just think things move. Like these businesses did not pop up yesterday. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. It just doesn't happen. I feel like you kind of answered it, but what are some of the things that motivate you?
Excuse me. Impact, bro.
Okay.
I think that Clarence Avant said it best. You're assigned a number the day that you're born, and you're assigned a number the day that you die. And everything in between in your life is about numbers, right? When I pass away, they're going to put a date after 1989. But in between, that dash in between, is going to be everything that I'm known.
The dash is so important, dog.
You get what I'm saying? As small or minute as a person might think, that is everything that you stood for.
Yeah.
That you pushed. You get what I'm saying? That is your impact. The dash is your impact.
So my uncle preaches, right? He's a minister, and he always, you know, at funerals and stuff like that, he always has this line where he was like, you know, we can't worry about the front number in the middle, in the end number. Because the only thing you got control over is that dash in between, yo. That dash is so important. And I want my dash to be, you know, I want my dash to be bigger than them numbers. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because the dash is really what it is. So, you know, that's real, though, yo. How do you generate ideas? Like, what is your move to if you got to go in the lab? Like, what you do?
You got to be around those. You have to stay motivated. This is where Viola comes into play. I definitely can't get out of here without speaking with you on that. When I got into the business, the only person I wanted to work with was Al Harrington. Because he made that shit look fly. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I looked at Al in cannabis, like somebody might look at a rapper or you know, he's an athlete as well, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, damn, that motherfucker fly. Like, damn, every time Shea Alexander Gilchrist walked through the tunnel, he fresh or Russell, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was making it look so appealing, right? That I wrote the goal down. 2018, it was like, yo, the only person we want to partner with is Viola. We want to be able to do a collab in 2021 with him and all of it, right? So for me, it was just focusing on my focus. You've heard me say this before. My focus was how can we get a partnership with Al Harrington and Viola Brands? You know what I mean? And then you start to see pieces around that can help you get there. You start seeing relationships that you've cultivated, no pun intended, over the years that now 6 degrees of separation turns into 1 degree of separation and you're right there. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I wanted to make sure that I was staying true to the culture, and then that was all the inspiration I was going to need, OG. You get what I'm saying? Because the culture dictates, you know what I mean? We're the tastemakers of everything.
Yeah.
So that's where the Black Hempster Tour was really important, because now, instead of being over Zoom or FaceTime, I'm touching the people. Y'all come over here and get free food. You want to know how to get people into your shit? Have some bomb-ass food and some bomb-ass weed, and don't charge anybody for nothing.
Yeah.
Because now you're going to get them. You're going to get them, but now they're going to sit there and they're going to listen to what you're trying to say, and you're going to be able to have dialogues that's going to help you. A lot of times we spend a lot of our 1,440 minutes in a day getting just talking. People just constantly talking. That's the treadmill effect. We hopped off the treadmill. You know what I mean? So I wanted to just stay inspired by just looking at my people and saying, shit, 85% of the marijuana arrest happens to people that look like you and I, and we only own 4% of this market. That's inspiration. We've lost 90, you know, we've lost close to 13% of all farmers. That's an inspiration. We've lost 12 million acres accumulative over the last century. That's inspiration. And it doesn't take long or I don't got to go far to be inspired, bro. I just got to see the conditions of my people and want to change it.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Like, that's, I think that's
a long-winded answer, with my bad.
Nah, that's not. Like, that was real, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was, that's what I want. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? That's what the folks want, for real. This is one of my favorite questions I ask everybody. It's like, what is one of your greatest fears and how do you manage that in your, you know what I'm saying, your business?
I'm not gonna say I'm not fearful of things, but back to impact. I guess my greatest fear is not being able to help advance those that look like you and I in a level that I would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I combat that? It's just by staying focused on what the goal is. And the goal is to empower close to 10,000 farmers in this hemp space. You get what I'm saying? And then I just go on about it. I don't necessarily just think about the fear, more. Like, it might be strange. I just
lock in. Real.
Like, you know
that's
what I mean? Like, if I'm fearing something, then I'm not focused on what's the task at hand. You know what I'm saying? My granddaddy was in World War II. He didn't get to fight. You know what I mean? And was stationed in Sweden. And he used to just always tell me growing up, that if you fearing something, shit, you can't be focused. Because if I was out there on the front lines and I'm fearing this and that, then shoot, my focus ain't on getting home.
Right.
So my focus is getting to the finish line or passing, you know what I mean, it to somebody who's going to take us to the next level, bro. This is going to be a marathon for sure. And it's going to take a lot of endurance and focus for us to get to where we got to go.
Yes. One of the biggest things that I think that we have to realize, Nipsey Hussle this whole thing into the drink, but this is really a marathon, yo. We're starting this race, and I almost like to it's almost like a relay, but it's a relay marathon, because we start in this race, but we want to make sure that this race can go on way longer than we thought it could. So
victory lap was the only thing that we played our first year.
That's real. That's real.
I told you this too. You know what I mean? Victory lap was the on every single day. Everybody in our organization can spit victory rap front to backwards, bro. Straight up. There's no cap in that. I put it on everything. Take your organization. Anybody with an organization, and y'all want to do a karaoke on victory rap, we're going to body that shit. victory lap.
Yeah.
It's the truth, bro, because that's all we listened to, because it was just the inspiration.
It was so inspirational. Behind it. Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
And the funny thing about it is, after we got accepted into the incubator with Viola, all we played that year was Dom Kennedy. His last album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's I got a random ass Al story, dog. Why I got Al shooting shirt from the Wizards? Like, randomly? Dog. Like, I'm just happy to look over and I'm like, I'm looking at the drink now and I'm like, dog, randomly. So I have a family friend that used to, I guess, work down at Verizon Center, right? So when I played for the Wizards, I don't know if he gave him the shirt or something like that, but he used to wear number 7 when he played for the Wizards. I remember, because that's my line number, right? So I was like, all right, I always know who got number 7 on any team because that's just my line number, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to know that. Something like that. I look down and I look at this shirt. They never made this shirt for sale.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I was like, hey, yo, how the fuck did I get Al Harrington's shooting shirt, dog? It's an Adidas drink. Before the switch, before they switched over to Nike. Now they got, you know what I'm saying?
So that was like 2013.
Yeah, I was like, that's just random as shit. Like, and I've rocked this joint forever. And then, like, you know, full circle, I was like, dog, when I get a chance, I'm going to have to get out of signing this drink, bro. Like, so, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because that's just
for a joint.
But that's in random story. But yeah. So, last question, yo, is how do you define success?
I sound like a broken record, bro. You already know what I'm going
to
say.
He going to say impact, dog, because I'm trying to tell you. It's all about
like it's like a typical, like when you walk into those standards, it's all about impact out there. Yeah. Did you leave an impact today? And we just want to get 1%
but
better.
But that's real, though, man. That's all you want to do.
You know what I'm saying?
Just be better than the last day. You know what I mean?
I can't define it by the dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump got more money. Do you define his presidency as a success?
Right. I don't. I stopped doing that, dog. And really, you know, I'm big on impact too, though, because that's one of the things that you don't even realize. Like when we first started doing Bouquet, and I first started like just really being out there, just like talking to people, and you would meet so many people. And like I never forget, I had this lady. So we was at Marion, Maine for their grand opening, right? And I got the video of this drink and everything. Like, so the drink is wild. Like, this lady is like, the lady is talking about, you know, she was like, and I remember y'all such and such. And I'm like, yo, I remember the lady. And just like, you know, being able to remember the people and say like, yo, just, you know what I'm saying? Connections, having that impact. Something that you did not necessarily might think that was big. To somebody else, that was huge. And some of that, you can't get a monetary number on impact. You know what I'm saying? Like there is no way that you can put a dollar sign on the impact that you make on people and just the culture of it. And I think we're both in a space where we're changing the culture and the narrative and the stigmas around, you know what I'm saying, cannabis and hemp and everything else. Because people don't know nothing about hemp. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people be like, oh, hemp, all right, whatever. Like, just learning about the stuff, learning about the process. Like, Rail got some shit, y'all, that probably will put y'all best tree to shame. And it's just because
respectfully,
disrespectfully, that like,
but it's the science behind it, bro. Like,
but it's also the craft, though, dog. And it shows how much you honestly are all in on it. And I think, you know what I'm saying, I think that's one of the biggest things that for me. You know, it's kind of wild because, like, we randomly have the phone conversations. Like, it'd be like random middle of the night or some, you know what I'm saying? It'd be very, you know, crazy ass times, all types of shit like that. But it'd be good. It'd be great conversations, and I always leave the conversation with my cup full. Like, you know what I mean? But I say all that to say, like, we have times where we don't necessarily, you know what I mean? Like, we don't necessarily, can't miss. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I feel like, I don't know, man. I just feel like sometimes this shit is, this, you know, should be inevitable. And this is one of these times
It's a unique time for us to jump into this space, right?
Like, but it's just like you're not missing, bro. No, you good, bro. No, you good. You good.
So when I started the Viola Incubator, you know, Al was gracious enough to really invite me on a journey to see how he handles his day-to-day, right? So you see the impact yet again that he makes on hundreds of employees. This man has, you know, he's the largest multi-state operator, African-American ran company. So he's employing people in seven different states and now Canada.
That's crazy.
The whole country, right? And you see him spending his time with his children and his wife, and then you see him getting back on the plane and on the ground floor talking to the people. What is it that you want? How can I help you get into this? Those are the things that's bigger than any dollar amount that a motherfucker can give you, fam. Listen, what I'm telling you. You get what I'm saying? Because then you start to see, like, okay, this is really about taking our people to the next level, and it's contagious. Shout out to Nipsey and Jonah Berger. You know what I mean? Yeah. It catches on. You start to develop habits. What is it? It takes 18 days to develop a habit, a lifetime to break it. So within those 18 days, we want to make sure that the habit that we're developing is a habit that we want to keep with us for a lifetime. You feel me? So, you know, being able to see a person of his stature and success, still humble and listening to what the culture is in need of, and not just listening, but implementing plans, it spread. I'm already an ambitious person, bro. You get what I'm saying? But when you put, you turn it up times 10, you get to see what's going on. Okay, we started with the outdoor grow, and we were blessed enough to go indoors and create a quality za form of smokable hemp. You know what I mean? And now what we're working on is the, I'm not going to say, you know, the mecca, but the cornerstone. I think that's a better view. The cornerstone foundation that started 81 years ago in creating the Healthy Economic Momentum Push Campus, also known as HEMP.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen, give these people that one more time because they ain't understand it, yo. One more time for them.
So our newest campus will be the Healthy Economic Momentum Push, or also known as the HEMP Campus. It is designed to create not only premium flower for consumption, but to do extensive research and development in the sustainable side of hemp by creating hempcrete for sustainable homes, bass hemp fiber for insulation, and also doing an array of things with green microfibers. And, you know, this campus is going to be for us, for our people, and those who want to learn. I'm not just going to, you know, just say our people, but those who want to learn and be allies and help advance and propel Black, Indigenous, people of color into the cannabis space by creating a form of ownership through land ownership and agricultural cultivation. Phase three of a five-phase journey.
Got to pull up. When I pull up at that drink, I'm a do like King Joffrey Jofa. They gonna throw papers down at my feet when I get
there
out
of the car. You know what I mean? We'll have bouquet classes. And the thing is, you know, we want to at some point, you know, Timbuktu is a center of learning. Timbuktu. Don't get it twisted, but it was a center for learning. And I think that we can do that. I think that my family will want that to be done on the family farm. We're blessed enough to have three farms, 30-acre farm, our family 3-acre farm with three homes, and then also acquired 180 acres in October in Little Rock, Arkansas. But I think for the family farm to be able to help people reach their goals and develop plans that can help impact not only this generation, but generations to come. I believe that's what my great-grandparents would want. And shout out to Viola Brands and Al Harrington for coming on as a partner and helping us incubate this and really, you know, putting us in position to have credibility to do what we want to do, which is community outreach and purpose-driven farming.
For sure. That's dope, though. Like, when you told me, you know what I'm saying, about the new initiative, I lost it because it sells itself, you know what I mean? And a lot of this stuff that you're doing is really it's service driven, right? And it's you know, you're really trying to make sure that whatever you do and whatever you're able to create, that is able to feed someone else and able to for someone else to learn and be able to create the same thing. And I think that's huge. And I hate to say, we already know what the title of this episode, right? I'm changing it in the name of the thing. The title of this episode is called Impact. Because that's literally what it is. I'm literally putting the name on this title right now. Like,
because I look at it from a standpoint of like, we're fine, right? We know that there's no form of you know, my family was wise where we incorporated our family farm into the business, and it's equity, right? So you don't have parcels. You have an equity percentage of what we had, right? So understanding that it was elders that were wise enough to say, hey, these are the clauses that we're going to put in place to keep our family legacy together. I don't feel like I have pressure, bro. I feel like it's for me to drop the ball. And if anything, you know, coming from a community of 10,000 people, 77% are Caucasian, 17% are African-American. We're on the east side. That's the African-American side of this small town in USA, in Tennessee. Everything's been community-driven. Pull up in my house. If we got corn, you can pull up and get all the corn you want, all the soybeans you want, all the strawberries you want. We're not charging for that. We're doing this for not only our family, but for families who might not have the ability. So it's the same thing. People are saying, hey, I want to get into the CBD industry. I want to be a grower, but I live in Boston. Right. I don't have any land around me that I can just cultivate or whatever. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? We have ample amount of land. God has blessed us with ample amount of land where we can figure things out and help you reach your goal. You know, I want to get into the ancillary space, and I want to, you know, use hemp that I grow to process and create papers. Well, look, I need to get you with my guy, Maul. You know what I mean? And really be those big brothers and sisters of this industry that can help us, you know, get to the next level, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the end goal. So, like, with this campus, I'm really excited to see where we're going to take this in the next level, because we're not just helping create educational curriculums and building businesses and incubating companies. We're also providing jobs. You know what I mean? And that, to me, is very instrumental and impactful for what the next 5 years to 10 years of gold standard is going to be. They're going to judge us off of how many families we're helping.
For sure.
And that is what's going to take us to the next level, bro. The smokable flower, I'm blessed. I'm humbly, listen, I respect it. You know, I have yet to hear any bad reviews on our flower. I'm not sure. I'm not saying that it's not out there, but it's yet to get to me.
Right. So, that lets me know we're,
lets me know we're doing something great. But that's just a byproduct of where we're trying to take this company. You get what I'm saying? That's just right. One of the things that we're going to be known for. But ultimately, it'll be an array of different things within this plant that's going to put us at the forefront.
Man, this has been a we done already did an hour and change.
Yeah, man.
And it don't even feel like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? I normally like to give people a this or that. When we get on, I had to do this. We gonna throw this or that toward the end of the show. So your this or that question is, I think I got a good one for you, dog. Your opportunity at whatever sporting event there is for you to get the winning play, right? So if it's a football, you score the winning touchdown, you throw the winning touchdown, you catch the winning touchdown, you run the touchdown. If it's basketball, you hit a half-court shot, you catch the oop on somebody, you do something. Baseball, you hit a home run, whatever it is, hockey, hat tricks, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You either get that, or, dog, you make the perfect strain. This or that. Which one you going with?
I'm gonna go with a walk off home run, bro.
Mm. flip? You going back? You going to flip the bat? You going back flip?
This here's my victory lap. I'm leaving. That's how you get me back. You feel me? Because you're not, because I don't feel like there's anything that's never going to be perfect. Like Reggie Miller had a clip, but it wasn't the perfect form. You know what I'm saying? So to even like drive myself crazy trying to get the perfect strand, I think that I'll get something that is you know what, still won't be perfect. It's still gonna be somebody out there like, man, this motherfucker bud was this. You know what I'm saying? So just let me get my home run, let me get my shit off pause, you know what I'm saying? One time running around the bases. You feel me? Like
that's real though. That's real. Like you know what I'm saying? You go down on YouTube, it'll be on IG and everything. That's real, dog.
Like I'm already, you know, over analytical on every aspect of growing. So to sit here and try to figure out a perfect strand, bro, I'll drive yourself crazy.
That's real.
I'll go crazy, bro.
That's real. that's why I ask these people to questions, y'all, because I be wanting to get people's honest opinions, because sometimes people will lie to you and tell you some shit, and you be like, I know that ain't true. I know that ain't true. You know what I'm saying? So that's a dope drink. Is there anything else that you want the people to know? What's going on in the near future? How can they contact you? I mean, what's, you know what I'm saying? Websites, give them all that good stuff.
Website is www.goldstandardfarms.com. Our original IG was recently removed. Not going to get into that, but our new one is at Hemp Campus, H-E-M-P Campus. And since, you know, IG did that, be on the lookout for the Healthy Economic Momentum Push app, because I'm not going for them deleting companies that are out here trying to impact our people. So we're just going to develop our own. We're going to develop our own cannabis app, and have a, you know, some form of a forum discussion board. Obviously, no products and things like that, but just ways that we can communicate and advance and propel. And you know, that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? Focus on your focus. Stay locked in. When things are getting hard, this usually means you're doing something right. So just stay locked in on that. And I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be impactful, bro. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't matter how much money you're gonna accumulate. It's just about the impact, bro.
It's all about period. The impact, dog.
Yo, you know what I mean?
One time for my man Rail, y'all. I appreciate you, brother. I'm a definitely get this thing all chopped up, shoot it to you, so you know what I'm saying. Get a head of it and everything. But I appreciate you, man, being on the show, y'all. This is actually the intro show back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I took a little time off of the show, and this is the first episode back. So this is going to be the first episode on season two of He's an On Time God. I really appreciate my man Javrell being on this joint, dog. Like this is he got me back in the booth for real. Like he like, dog, you need to do this. I'm like I am, dog. Like I appreciate it. So I appreciate you, brother. I really do.
Well, I appreciate you, bro.
This has been the first episode of season two for He's an On Time God. I am your host, Maul. Like I said, I appreciate my guest, Rail from Gold Standard Farms. Y'all be on the lookout. I'm going to post all the stuff. And make sure that y'all reach out if y'all have any questions. And, you know what I'm saying, feel free, man. But, I appreciate it, dog. It's nothing but love, bro. Anything that you need from myself or Bouquet, you just, you know what I'm saying, you say the word, man.
It's all good, man. Black Flower Family, for sure.
For sure. Black Flower Family, for sure. For sure, man. All right, then, brother.
All right.